Say with me again, the gym of faith. The way you're saying it, say louder.
The gym of faith.
There is a very important aspect we've been discussing about that faith is not subject to causing changes because you claim you believe. We have discussed how faith is complex, that faith alone is not enough because faith has got different taps in its context. If we look at what we saw, most people define faith as a substance of things hoped for, which, according to the gospel, they are gospel. It's okay, because the Bible is understood in different gospels. And when we come to issues of doctrine, it's not necessary for us to be arguing to say I'm right or I'm wrong. That's why the Bible is written by Paul, it's written by Peter, and amongst the Gospels, when Matthew was writing, it says the Gospel according to Matthew's. So that's how Matthew's understands. He does not argue what John is writing. Then on John, it says the Gospel according to John. So if a preacher's preaching, and he's against what other preachers are preaching, he's wrong. What he's preaching is the gospel according to him. Are you here right?
Yes.
It's the gospel according to him. So what God reveals him is not what God is revealing to others. So it doesn't mean people should argue. Now, listen to this. When we look at that word for according to the gospel, according to Major 1, the book of Hebrews, when it says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, it does not mean the definition of faith. It means a type of faith, not faith. So there is a type of faith which is known as now faith. So when you see the scripture, the Bible doesn't start with the word faith is. It starts with the word now faith. Is a substance. In Hebrews 11:1, it says now faith is a substance. Right? Now faith. Let's read it together. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, when we go to TPT, let's go to TPT. It says what?
Now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen.
So, we have kinds of faith, different types of faith. We looked at little faith. The Bible, Jesus said, you of little faith. So we have little faith. So you have faith, but it's little. Now you may think, I have faith, but it's little. And according to Jesus, little faith does not produce results. When they tried to cast out demons from the child who had a problem of epilepsy, Jesus didn't blame the demon. He blamed the amount of faith. Because faith can be measured.
Yes.
In Romans 12, from verse 3, faith can be measured. All right? Let's go to Romans 12.
For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith.
A measure of what?
Faith.
So faith can be measured. We can actually measure faith. We can put faith in a cylinder and measure it. So the Bible speaks of faith as something that can be measured. Are you there? Say with me, faith can be measured. So Jesus says, you of little faith. Meaning to say, when Jesus measured their faith was what?
Little.
Then the scripture continues. When Jesus met a centurion or centurion who said, you do not have to come to my house. Speak a word and my child will be healed. The Bible says what? Jesus said, I have never seen great faith like this one. So this one is not little. This one has been measured and it is great. So we can have great faith. We can have little faith. And the problem is all of them, they are called what?
Faith.
So if you're sitting there or you're watching me there, you may think you have faith. But it could be little. So the apostles were with Jesus every day, moving with Jesus. When the wind was blowing, they began to think, we'll die. As they were thinking, we'll die. Jesus blamed them of little faith. So you may actually be watching me right now, having an issue, thinking maybe this will happen or something else will happen. Jesus calls that little faith. Am I talking to someone right here? So it's a faith. We thank God it's faith, but it's little. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 4, from verse 19, 20, 21, 22, it says, Abraham, yet being old, against all hope. Are you there?
Yes.
Believed what God spoke and did not doubt in his heart, but he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. For he was persuaded that God was even able to bring life from the dead.
Yes.
Are you there? So if Abraham, now look at that. So if Abraham, the Bible calls it, it says, and it continues by saying, it says, he was not weak in his faith. He did not stagger through unbelief, but he was strong in faith. Now that word there, we can underline it, stagger through unbelief, to stagger. It means today to believe, tomorrow to panic a little bit. The other day to say, but oh, what's happening with my life? So you may call yourself, I have faith. Well, your faith does not produce results because faith can be little. Jesus even said, if you have little faith, small faith as a seed of mustard. So we can also have small faith, little faith. Great faith, weak faith. He was not weak in faith. The Bible says he was not weak in faith. So there is weak faith. It's there, but it's weak. Am I talking to somebody right here?
Yes.
Then we also have now faith. So it says now faith is a substance. So there is a type of faith where you do not believe your miracle will happen next year. You believe the miracle is going to happen now. Are you here?
Yes.
So there is now faith. Now, for you to know that it's a type of faith, let's go into reading in TPT. Let's go into reading. It says it's a substance of the of what? Of things. 11 verse 1 of Hebrews. All right, we have read that. Now go verse 2. All right.
This testimony of faith.
Hello.
Is what?
Wait. Are you seeing that they're actually now saying
this?
This testimony. So they're actually referring to that this type of faith, the now faith. This testimony of faith. Continue reading.
This testimony of faith is what previously generations were commended for.
Mm-hmm.
Faith empowers us to see that the universe.
I want you to read again the same part.
Faith.
It says this testimony of what?
This testimony of faith is what previously generations were commended for.
Previously. Mm-hmm.
Faith empowers us to see that the universe was created beautifully, coordinated by the power of God's words. He spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen. Faith moved Abel to choose a more acceptable sacrifice.
So, now we're continuing there, right?
Yes, sir.
So, the Bible says this testimony of faith, this kind of faith, this type of faith, it is what moved those men. Now, they begin to list their names now. Abel, his seed which he planted, his offering which he gave. It was not that he just gave it like what his brother Cain was doing. So from what we see from the scripture, there were two types of offering. One was given because it was an act of giving. Yet one was moved by faith. Are you here?
Yes.
So you can give because you are giving and everybody is giving. But there is a giving. And when the scripture says, it says what he gave from that verse. Let's go to reading it.
Faith moved Abel to choose a more acceptable sacrifice to offer God than his brother Cain. And God declared him righteous because of his offering of faith. By his faith, Abel still speaks instructions to us today.
Did you hear that?
Even though he is long dead.
Until today, this is New Testament talking. It says the blood of that man, Abel, still speaks. Why? Because what he gave was of what? Of faith. So there is a level where even in giving, it's not just believing. Even in giving, you can raise up something in faith. And when people or when situations are against you, that offering can speak for you.
Amen.
Even if you die, it will speak for your children. Even if you are no longer there, it will keep on speaking for your family. You say, this woman had planted something in faith.
Yes.
Imagine you being moved by God and giving out of faith. And then there's a competition somewhere. You have applied. 50 people have applied. And then your offering speaks for you. Not because you gave, but because you gave out of faith. Are we here right?
Yes.
Now, so we have looked at different types of faith. Now faith, weak faith, small faith, great faith. All right? As you have seen this type of faith, it is very important to understand what makes one. I'm trying to summarize what I've been teaching all these past days. What makes one develop the now faith? What is this level of now faith? From the scripture, these men began to operate on a particular type of faith where they're not saying, I'll wait for this miracle to happen tomorrow. As they woke up in the morning, they believed it will happen now. And it happened then. Say
in the name of Jesus.
I pray.
Let my faith be strengthened.
So imagine somebody bringing a child to the disciples and yet has got what? Little faith. He even told Jesus, he said, Lord, I believe. Jesus said, no, there is no faith here. The man said, no, actually, I believe. Then he said, then help my unbelief. Imagine you go to call for apostles, 12 apostles of Jesus Christ, to cast out a demon from your child. From the physical point of view, it looks you believe. If you had an ability to go and call for disciples to come and cast a demon, from the point of view, it seems you what?
Believe.
You believe. If you come to Malawi for IVP, it means you what?
You believe.
But then Jesus says there is no faith. Meaning to say, it was not enough. You need to develop your faith to a particular level where things can happen. Somebody say, help my faith, Lord.
Help my faith, Lord.
Say it again. Say, help my faith, Lord.
Help my faith, Lord.
So faith must not be taken for granted to say, I have faith, I believe, and I'm in church, hallelujah, I'm praying. No. Faith must be developed.
Yes.
Are you there?
Yes.
Because scripture puts it in this way, that faith can be substituted or can be developed. Now, when we read the scripture, it says, faith comes by hearing. And hearing the word of God. Meaning to say, faith, it is something that can come and it is something that can go. So just because it came in your life at some point in time, and it brought you in church or to a prophet, and you are still there, it does not mean it's still stayed. You could have stayed alone without it. Because faith is a spirit. I'm talking to somebody here. Faith is what?
It's a spirit.
The Bible says, having the same spirit of faith. Did you hear that? He says, having the same spirit of faith, as it is written, we believe. Therefore, we have spoken. Having the same spirit of faith. So faith, it's not just an idea that I'm now, like how other religions could be. It's not just an idea where you wake up in the morning and you say, now, no. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible puts it in this way. It says, having the same, read it.
And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore we speak.
It says, having the same what?
Spirit of faith.
We can have different spirits of faith. You're thinking of the same spirit of faith which I have. Well, it's actually yours is different. Having the same spirit of faith. So faith is not an idea. It is not philosophy. Where you wake up in the morning and then you begin to say, and now I was studying this and now I think I believe that the moon exists. No. It is not something that you discover. It's not a discovery. That now you are agreeing to say, I agree now. Because you have seen it. No. Faith, it is a spirit. It can come, it can go. Faith can be measured. Are you there? Faith can come and it can go. The Bible says it comes by hearing. And hearing the word of God.
Yes.
So when I prophesy, a good example, when I prophesy to Prophet Hara, the reason I am prophesying to him, it's not because I'm saying it will happen. No.
Okay.
I am speaking to him so that his faith can be raised.
Yes.
And that he must take action. Hello?
Amen.
Scripture says, treat prophecies with no contempt. Are you there, right?
Yes.
It says, do not treat prophecies. Meaning to say, I can get a prophecy and go home and say, I got a prophecy. Major one gave me a prophecy. He prophesied to me before. He spoke to me. That's treating the prophecy with what? Taking prophecy for granted. In the First Thessalonians, let's go to First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20. The scripture says what?
Do not treat prophecies with contempt.
What does it mean? It means you can get prophecy, but the way you treat it matters. Are you there?
Yes.
So I can get a prophecy from now. Prophecy will take me in my bedroom. Prophecy will take me in my knees, on my knees. Prophecy will take me in fasting. God, you have spoken. Oh my God. There's a certain song I was listening this morning. It says, I have a prophecy. I have a prophecy. And I don't want to fail this course. Are you there? Am I talking to you? So prophecy is not something like, I got a prophecy. Papa gave me a prophecy. Hallelujah, I'm waiting for it. Papa, when is it coming to pass? You are mad. Me, I'm done, I'm gone. When I say it, I'm done and I'm gone. Scripture says, Timothy, remember the word of prophecy which was given to you. He says, remember, because the guy had forgotten. And he began to face battles. Timothy began to face battles in his life. And he didn't know where the battles were coming from. Until Paul reminded him, said, remember the prophecies. When you remember them, you will fight a good warfare.
Yes.
Because the man was treating prophecies with the contempt.
Yes.
Am I talking to you?
Yes.
So I may stand here and I may give you a prophecy to say 2025 is a year of plenty.
Yes.
Hey, happy, happy, happy. 2 months, everybody has forgotten about it. Nobody, no one is praying over it. Treating prophecies with what? Contempt. In the 1 Timothy 4 verse 14, scripture says what? It says,
do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the elders. Eldership.
Now there was a point in time where Timothy even neglected the gift.
Yes.
You hear that?
Yes.
Imagine you get a prophecy that I see ministry in you. Okay? I see a calling in you. Amen, 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 amen. 5 years later, you are playing. I'm passing through a lot. Paul said, Timothy, do you know what is in you was given by prophecy?
Uh-huh.
There was a prophecy. It's not just you woke up in the morning and say, I'm a man of God. No. It was given to you.
Yes.
So prophecy, when we speak, that's why prophetic ministry is a ministry of faith.
Uh-huh.
When I say a word to you, I'm not telling you that this, no. I am speaking to you to stir up your faith.
Yes.
So your actions, your behavior must align with what God spoke.
Yes.
Imagine getting a prophecy, giving a prophecy to a person to say, you, come here. And then they come together as a couple, say, you're looking for a baby. Yes. Next year. You have a baby boy, a dead like this one. The husband saying, amen, 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 amen. After prophecy, same day, the husband is going to the airport, flying to London for 1 year. You think it will happen?
No.
Prophecy has given you a responsibility to go and do at home. You have to act. I'm talking to somebody.
Yes.
So you go home now and say, my wife, we have a word of prophecy. Can we work on it?
Yes.
So David got a prophecy. You will be a king. I told you this before. David didn't go home and say, hello, Lord. I got a prophecy. I'll be a king. No. He's not from the palace. He's not a prince. What will he do? He went to marry the king's daughter. Uh-huh. By default, he became a prince. Uh-huh. Am I talking to somebody right here?
Yes.
By default, already. He should become the next king because it moves in the family. So he's working off a prophecy. Not only that, he also befriends the prince Jonathan as his best friend. You getting a prophecy, you be a king. The next thing, your best friend will be someone from the village who knows nothing about kingship. Who's so negative of kings. You know me, I hate kings. You have a prophetic message in the prophetic ministry. Uh-huh. Your best friend hates prophets. Am I talking to somebody?
Yes.
So prophecy, come on. Yes. Prophecy is the word of God.
Yes.
That's what the Bible says. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Now, the scripture is the word of prophecy. You hear that? When you're reading the scripture, you can be reading it and not hearing God. At the very same time, you can be reading the scripture and hearing God. A man of God can be preaching. The preaching is the word of prophecy. As he's preaching, you can be hearing him preach, or you can hear God speak. If you hear God speak, then actually you are getting a prophecy.
Yes.
When I come here and I'm prophesying to individuals, that is also prophecy. The reason is, it is the word of God that is coming to create one thing, faith. Because faith, it is the only way to anything you need. Are you there?
Yes.
Whenever I'm going for a healing ministry, like, okay, tomorrow I'm having a healing ministry, I'll be praying for the sick. I pray, maybe for 2 hours, for the faith of the believers, for the faith of the sick. To say, God, as I arrive, may they have faith. Because you may actually come like this and pray for all of them, and all of them, none is healed. Not because you do not have a God. Not because God is not there. Scripture says what? Jesus tried to heal people, but he marveled of their unbelief, and he could not heal anyone. Are you there? Jesus, it says, and he marveled of the unbelief and could not heal them. So he left them. Then he went to somewhere. Lord, I want to see. He said, let it be done according to your faith. So whatsoever you are believing God for, it will be done according to your faith. Matthew 13, verse 58. Can you read it?
Now, he did not do any mighty works there because of their unbelief.
Imagine God failing to do mighty works in your life because of unbelief. And let you think you believe. Are you there?
Yes.
Let's go back to some scripture. NIV, can you read it?
And he did not do any miracles there because of their lack of faith.
Didn't they bring the sick to him? They did. In their mind, they were thinking it was what? Faith. And Jesus couldn't do any miracle. People were so shocked that Jesus was there and no any miracle was done. And when miracles didn't happen, Jesus marveled. Jesus was shocked because of their unbelief. And he left. I'm not talking about in the spirit. He was there physically. They brought people to him. And he couldn't do any miracle. And who do you think you are? You are just a pastor. And you're wondering why miracles don't happen. It's not an issue that you are not anointed. You are. And people will be like, but I have faith. I have faith. I told you this. People mistake faith with fear. Someone just scared of dying. It's not faith. If they would be taken to a witch doctor, they would still behave like that. So it's not faith. So faith It is when your spirit begins to understand that now, listen to me, it develops. Hello? It can move from me and sit on you. The Bible says the same faith which was on your grandmother. So faith can actually be transferred from me and come upon you. Somebody shout, I need faith that works.
I need faith that works.
Say it again.
I need faith that works.
2 Timothy 1 verse 5. Can you read it?
I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded now it lives in you also.
I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived. This faith was living in somebody. And in your mother. King James Version.
When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also.
Imagine that. So faith was in somebody. It went to from the grandmother to the mother, then it was then to Timothy. Then Paul is writing to say, the faith that is in you, in fact, is a transferable one. So if your faith is not working, try mine.
Oh, yes.
Are you here, somebody?
Yes.
Say faith.
Faith.
So when we are praying, the biggest mistake we have with people is, I have this problem, I want a solution. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want this to be done. God is not a magician, for Christ's sake. He's not you said. That is aiding, helping people who are in trouble. Say, car, oh, you, oh, I need a car. I have faith. Okay, get it. No. God isn't doing that. It is your faith that makes things happen. So if your faith faints, your faith becomes weak. If your faith is not able to carry what it's supposed to carry, nothing will happen. Raise up your right hand and say, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for my faith.
Help me to believe.
In Jesus' name.
I'm
going to ask you again the same question I did ask you the other time. Do you think there are things in life which you are not praying for them because they are too big? Or you think they may not happen? And then you have got other things which you are praying for because you think they can happen. If the answer is yes, there is not yet much faith. If you have a separation of prayer points where the other things you are believing God would happen, but still more your mind thinks, I don't think this can be done this week. Then your faith lacks something. Jesus spoke to a fig tree. He said, no one will eat from you. Are you there? He said, nobody will eat from you. When he spoke that statement, the Bible says Jesus passed. People were shocked. The tree was still green. It didn't dry. It only dried when they were coming back. That's when Peter said, Master, the tree you spoke has now dried. Meaning to say, Peter was observing. He said, let's see if it will dry. He even observed, say, it has dried from the roots, meaning he went to dig. How did he know it dried from the roots? He said, Master, that tree has dried from the roots. When Jesus spoke a statement, it didn't dry. This is the matter, the level of faith, which you must observe. Amen. That when you make a statement, even if the tree has not dried, even if your situation has not changed, but you stand on your word to say, the prayer I made 2 years ago, it will happen. Some of you, as I speak to you now, what you prayed for 2 years ago, you have now given up. Some of you have even forgotten about it because you feel like it's not working. But I speak to you in the name of Jesus. Every prayer you did 10 years ago, 5 years ago, may God hear it today. And I speak an unction of happenings. Say, in the name of Jesus, I speak, let it happen.